October the 8th. Dr. Weatherspoon speaking.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we would in true repentance open our hearts to Thee today to confess our sins and to pray for Thy forgiveness. Help us, we pray Thee, to hate the evil in ourselves and to love the righteousness that is in Thee. Help us to repudiate the wrong that we see in ourselves. And wilt Thou cover in Thy mercy the wrongs that we do not see? Create within us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. Make us, we pray Thee, to feel Thy hand upon us this day, strengthening us in our feeble struggle against our own weakness and against the difficulties that we face. Open our eyes to see the greatness of Thy power working in us, ready to replace our selfishness with Thy love. And wilt Thou open our hearts to the fellowship of the Spirit which Thou hast granted us, that through His guidance we may come into that true grace of Christian character and grow up toward the fullness of life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, learning ever more something of what it is to walk in the Spirit. We are Thy servants. Wilt Thou stir in us the ambition to be good servants, unashamed before the world, and unashamed in our own souls for the service that we may render Thee. Hear these and the secret prayers of our heart, we pray Thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Chapter of Ephesians. When He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. And His gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. George Bernard Shaw is reported to have said this about preaching: some preaching is like wine. It has color and sparkle, but does no permanent good. Some is like drinking coffee. It stimulates, but does not nourish. Some is like carbonated water, a fuss over nothing. Some is like spring water, good, but hard to get at. Allowing for the vinegar, in Shaw's words, sour and irritating, we still must weigh these criticisms and others that are aimed at the minister today, asking the question why of as much of it as is true. Strange to say, as I thought about this, the why of these criticisms, my mind turned to an oft-repeated television commercial. Chesterfields are mild because the tobaccos are. And strangely, again, or is it so strange, I recall some words of our Lord: men do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. A good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. And there's one of the Proverbs that reads something like this: the tongue of the wise dispenseth wisdom, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. And I recall having heard Dr. Robert E. Speer say concerning a vulgar slip in a boy's speech, if it had not been in there, it would not have come out. All of this adds up to say to us that the quality of the product of our life in the pulpit and out of it depends on what we are. Paul Scherer put it this way: behind the minister's duties and privileges, back of them all, in every relation, is the decisive fact of his own personality. That is central and conclusive. At the heart of his pastoral ministrations, in the solemn loneliness of those hours when he lifts his face to the eternal lending his lips to the other's will and to the things most surely believed, always in the midst, he stands himself a man. And from the manner of man he is, shall ever be drawn the true quality and reach of his power. That is to say, what a man is more important than what he knows. The question for us then as preachers in our time is this: what manner of men ought we to be? We who are Christ's gifts to the church and to the world, to be his servants in the building up of his church and in the winning of the world to Christ. The mission is a big order. What sort of men ought we to be? The only answer is that which in the thought of Paul is the goal of every Christian: mature manhood in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the kind of man his servant ought to be. Christ is the kind of person that we hold in the goal of our becoming. To attain that stature is, of course, a long road for every one of us. To settle down complacently short of the stature of Christ is to miss much of the glory of serving him. It is to limit ourselves. It is, I think, to betray the trust that he has put in us, that we should stop looking and striving and moving toward the goal of his own stature. And at this moment, however far any of us has gone on that road, the high goal of Christian maturity is still a distant goal. I think none of us would claim to be near it at all. All would rather confess that we've grown little. And some might even confess that they have grown not at all since they were born, still babes in Christ. And the best of us are as the astronaut John Glenn, who said after his flight into outer space that in comparison with the vastness that was beyond, he had flown but inches unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. We can't be better than that. We cannot praise in ourselves the things that fall far below it. We must rather think in terms of the prophet who said, our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags, and our attainment in Christian character cannot be compared with his greatness. We have a long way to go, and we ought to be doing something about it, don't you think? Here and now, while we are in the seminary, in order that we may be sure of our direction, whether we are moving toward him or away from him, whether we are growing or diminishing, and in order that we may find the right road and see the right goal for our growing up to mature manhood. The seminary is properly called a community of learning. It must be that. We must learn many things here. We must learn the scriptures, the word of God to the world that we are to preach. We are to learn the meaning in terms of theology and ethics. We must learn history. We must learn the skills that are necessary to an effective ministry. And no man has a right to be here who is not committed to learning. Constant and thorough attainment in his intellectual life. But ours here is more than an intellectual pursuit. We are not here to intellectualize religion, reduce it to things known and to thoughts. We are here also to personalize religion, to live as we learn it. We are as truly a community of becoming as we are a community of learning. Becoming the kind of persons worthy to handle the truth we learn. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world of intellectual learning, making straight A's, and lose himself, his integrity, his full commitment to the kingdom of God, his genuine piety, his regard for truth, or his courage to speak it? What shall it profit a man if he become a big brain and at the same time develops a selfish spirit? A dull conscience, an ambition for personal preferment or a sad satisfaction with things as they are. What shall it profit if we learn but do not become better men? And I think none of us can presume too much and say it cannot happen to me. It can happen. I have seen it happen through 40 years of seminary experience. Too often I have seen men going out of the seminary with diplomas in their hands, but no better men than when they came. I have seen them fall. I have seen a young couple cheat on examinations because they were so anxious to pass in order that they might become foreign missionaries. All mixed up in their consciences. I recall once having assigned to a class the writing of a paper on some subject. They were to go to the library, see what men had said about it, write something of their own judgments in the light of these things. I received one excellent paper. The trouble was, I recognized it. And I went to the encyclopedia to verify my suspicions. And it was true, he had copied it. He had good judgment as to what a good article was. He copied it verbatim and turned it in. Signed his name. I called him in, instead of reporting him to the faculty. I said, "Red, I want to talk to you about your paper." And his face turned as red as his hair. I said, "Red, I gave you this assignment for two or three purposes. For one thing, I wanted you to get some experience in research. I wanted you to get a little better facility in writing. And I wanted you to learn something. And you've done none of these things. You came out of it a worse man because you gave way to something wrong in yourself." I've seen men fall, and I've seen them recover. As this young couple did, and with some years of proving themselves, they came through and found their place in the missionary service. And as that young man did, who until this day is serving as a fine servant of God in his pastorate, I've seen them fall and I've seen them recover. And that is the gospel that I am trying to preach to you this morning. Not accusing any man of giving way, but only saying this is a time for becoming better men, better women, cleaner in heart, more honest in our personal desires more truthful in our speech, more courageous in our wills to stand for that which will help us to grow. That's the responsibility of every man. I bring to you this word out of the scriptures. We are to grow up into Christ. There's no stopping short of it with any satisfaction or any profit. Now that is a difficult thing. It requires dedication. The seminary cannot be converted into a monastery, but we can be as dedicated as monks. It requires self-discipline, not of the imposed sort, but self-chosen. It requires persistence. It requires that every day, every morning, we shall regird ourselves to live in the Spirit of Christ. Let us stand. Hear the prayers of our hearts today, we pray thee, and grant us thy constant presence to undergird us in our desire to be good servants of Jesus Christ. For in his name we pray.